It should say audio settings, and you can check there and see if that's causing issues. You click on the little sidebar.
me see. Sidebar.
Oh, there you go.
Wait, I can hear you. We can hear you
It's working
now.
now?
Yeah,
Okay. I
working
don't think
now.
I did anything, but okay. I'll
It
take it.
took Dave coming on to get it to work right.
Yeah, we use Zoom. Like we went to, I teach at Marine Corps University, and we went to virtual classes like in on short notice in March, and we used Zoom, and then they banned Zoom for DoD, so we had to go to Google Meets and some other stuff. So I haven't really used it much in months, but Zoom's like the only thing that works in this computer. I have to go use a different computer for meets. So.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. GK's iPad. Help me with GK.
You're muted, brother.
Muted.
You're on mute.
Yeah, the sign of COVID.
Dr. Joyner, how are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good, good. Fantastic. I'm glad you could join us tonight.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's a I you know if I for because I forgot you live in Georgia, and so I just automatically converted everything to Alabama time when you sent out the first thing kind of late Saturday mornings. Oh crap, I can't make it at 11, but at 10 o'clock I could have made it, but it was too late before I figured it out. And then I, had commitments last week, so.
Fantastic. Well, we're glad you're here. Glad you're here. I think it was Travis from last week. And I'm terrible with names. But he emailed me earlier today. I'm gonna go look and make sure I got the right name. He emailed me and confirmed that he wasn't gonna be able to come, but just expressed, yeah, Travis, but just expressed that he's really been enjoying these calls and sort of he used the word community, which I think is cool. Sort of a burgeoning Alabama community here on the Zoom, so that's cool. Caleb, how's it going, man?
It's good. It's good. All the
Looking
kids are down tonight, so the distractions should be much more limited
gonna
in the
say
first 2 weeks.
you look super relaxed.
Yeah.
Charlie, they let you inside, man. You're not in the garage.
No, I'm staying at an Airbnb in Minneapolis. It looks like it's wood paneling behind me, but it's really not. It's a lot nicer spot, but I'm
Right.
glad to be back. I sort of take responsibility for the loss or for the poor play last weekend because I'm sure everyone that's an Alabama fan is superstitious about stuff.
Right.
And so I'm like, God damn it. Had I been in that Zoom call, Alabama would have played better. And
There
then
you go. All
and then
right. All right.
someone sent an email that said they wore the wrong jersey for the day.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm sure we're all superstitious about stuff. And so
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
partly responsible for the poor play because
Okay.
I
So
didn't jump.
all of this anger at Pete Golding is re it needs to be redirected. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we all take some responsibility for it, but
Well, see, either Dave or I am responsible for last season because Dave sort of turned me on to Clyde Mays, through the podcast because it's harder to find here in Virginia. I was like, okay, sure, I'll start drinking Clyde Mays during Alabama games. And sure enough, Tua gets hurt. We lose all those
Oh
games.
man.
Yeah, I haven't bought a bottle since. So I think we're going to be good this year. But now, Saban's, down. So I can't take responsibility for that one. But.
Man, that's a I don't know that I would claim that one. I'm still gonna get my Clyde. I'm good. Speaking of which,
Nice.
I've got some Clyde working tonight.
Nice.
So that's cool. Brian,
Good.
how's it going, man?
It's good. Minus, the whole saving stuff. And we took five girls rock climbing today. So,
Wow.
fall break for my kids. And they took a bunch of their friends. So that was exciting.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, no, I blame Lane Kiffin, his mask for Saban. So.
That sort of partial mask.
What the hell that was, but that was not good.
Man. Hey, GK, you're on mute. Is that do you have an audio capability or? Okay. I'm
What
only
did he
gonna
say?
pretend like I understand what you said, but all good. You can hear us though, right? I'm assuming. Okay, fantastic. Fantastic. Hey, Doug, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Yeah, well, no, actually, I'm down in the basement, so I don't wake everybody up. There's really not a lot of light down here, so I'm just on audio. And I'm not so sure that because these guys, except for Caleb there, I haven't really seen before, so maybe they don't know I'm living over here in Sweden. So
yeah,
that's why I'm in the basement.
Don't worry, Doug, I remember you.
All right, let's not go there.
We're afraid Doug would run you off.
Yeah, so I'm just really jumping in to say hello and hang out for a little while, and then I'm gonna hit the hay.
Understand. Doug is our Swedish correspondent. If you've heard that reference on the show, here he is, man, in the Zoom, not in the flesh, but in the Zoom.
in the Zoom.
Brian, might I just say, great background. Great Thank background. You. Phenomenal. We're not going to make the UTC slams tonight. I'm going to visually be reminded every time.
I can change it. I always forget it's back there because I have to use it for work when I'm home. And it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot that that's back there.
No, I actually taught at UTC for a year as I was transitioning from Alabama, in fact. So,
My first job,
actually, I was finishing a dissertation. So 1995-96, I taught in the political science department there.
Oh, very cool. I have a colleague who works with them, but I don't particularly, but I have a colleague who works with them. So I was hoping to, but it didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to. So all good. I help with chemistry and physics and science, or math, so, which none of them I'm talented at, but doesn't really matter for my job.
Yeah. Hey, GK, can you talk now?
Still.
We can hear you.
There
you
go. Okay, nice. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes. Some settings.
I saw the mute go off.
Yeah.
No, this is my first time on Zoom, so I'm really new to this.
Fantastic.
So is this the first time you've jumped on? I missed last week's.
No, I missed. I listened to the audio on the bonus podcasts, and it sounds like you guys had a great time, but this is the first time I'm actually participating, so I'm just happy to be here.
Well, good. We're happy to have you. Why don't you take a minute and just introduce yourself, and then we'll just jump into whatever we want to talk about tonight.
Yeah, I'm from San Francisco. I've been kind of following this podcast since you guys started over 10 years ago. Actually, you're a big reason why I am an Alabama fan, because I got so much knowledge from your early podcast, and I ended up realizing I just kind of knew everything about the team by the time the season started. And it's just been kind of infectious. And I love Alabama. I love following the football. And I've just been looking forward to, you know, the start of your podcast season every year. So, yeah.
We appreciate that. We really, really do. It's flattering. Some of the guys on here from a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that a little bit. It's, you know, this is the humblest of beginnings, right? Some of the podcasts out there are, you know, media outlet, you know, podcasts. And this is just two guys talking into a mic. Not even that anymore, but
for
right now. But it's all good. It's all good. Hey, did you, just kind of speaking of which, did any of you guys have the opportunity to listen to the Georgia pregame show? I know that was just a couple of days ago.
Yeah,
yes, sir. This morning. Yeah.
Was that pretty good? Y'all like that? They were really fun guys. We talked a little bit before we started recording, and then I just let it sort of go all the way through. There are three guys, and I can't remember what of this I said in the introduction versus not, but it's three guys. They started this back in 2015. They started it right around the rain game that we had in Athens, and then they were at the time they were we recorded Tuesday night, so a little bit earlier. That sort of bumped up our schedule a little earlier, which ended up being great. But they were on their back porch. You could hear the crickets in the background, and they had a Braves game on. And what's funny is I could see like one of them, like you see me now. And then the other two, like they were around a table. And so the other two were, you know, just out in front. And so he would talk to me, and then I'd ask a question, and he would point to, you know, who was going to answer the question. So it was kind of funny to do that. But it was a really good discussion. They seemed like really good guys. And, you know, they're on board if we repeat with them in the SEC championship game. So that'll be a fun conversation. It's incredible. I'll take a minute and I'll stop complaining, but it's incredible how hard it is to find these other podcasts. I can find some of them like in iTunes, but they don't have a website. There's no way to contact them or communicate with them. And then those that I can, I have a really low sort of response rate. And so I'm just, you know, that's why Missouri was, I guess they're just nice in Missouri. I reached out to two and both of them accepted. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to take both of them since they both accepted. And then since then I reach out to three or four to get one. And, so we'll see, but we have Tennessee lined up for next week. And, I don't know. I was reaching out to one Mississippi State site and I think it was the third outreach to them before I realized they stopped producing podcasts in 2017. So we'll see what we find on, Mississippi State, but enough of sort of the travails of those podcasts. They're a lot of fun to do and I hope you guys really enjoy them. So that's cool.
I like the camaraderie of teams we hate together.
Yeah.
So I live in Arizona. I'm in Scottsdale. So we have, you know, all Pac-12 teams, but you know, I have a SEC shirt that I wear around a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that always gets the Florida Gator that's misplaced. Yep. Or the, you know, and as much as we all have the rivalries, it seems like when we're outside of, you know, SEC territory that you have that common bond about, okay, we hate you guys, but we're in, you know, Pac-12 territory or whatever. And so I really enjoy the conversation about, you know, it's Tennessee hate week, it's Georgia hate week. And
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was a fun part of the conversation.
That is cool. It's neat that you brought that up. One of my best friends to this day, when I graduated from school, my first job was in St. Louis, and the summer that I started there, an LSU graduate started there that summer, and he had started like a week before I did, and so he had the inside scoop that there was another SEC person coming. And so he was stalking me, and it's just one of those funny circumstances. They were doing their summer outing at the local sort of Six Flags. And so I literally am just walking into the gate to Six Flags. I don't know anybody, you know, it's my third day on the job, just a weird timing. And this guy, like, I was like, oh, I need to sidestep him. And he just makes a beeline for me. And I'm like, I don't know who this is. I don't know anything. And he's like, hey, my name's Devin. I'm an SEC alum. I went to LSU. So you're the Alabama guy, right? Yeah. He goes, all right, well, let's hang out. Like, you know, this would really be weird, except for it's almost just perfect. And yeah. And we've been friends since then. So
cool. But either let's hang out or let's fight.
That's right. So, you know, one of those things. But
the weird thing is, you know, SEC has such a big brand. You can't hardly find many clothes to buy. I mean, there's an SEC website and there's a couple of cheesy hats and a couple of t-shirts and that's about it. You think that these guys would get the marketing power and buy, you know, more garb. Yeah. But anyhow, so I got a cheesy little SEC shirt that I schlep around in.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's good.
Why don't we, I don't have any agendas and, or any sort of list of topics. So, I mean, you guys jump in with whatever you're thinking. I'll throw this on the table just to maybe get us going and y'all take it wherever we want to go. But sort of what is your pet reason? Because I think there's a bunch. What's your pet reason for the issues Alabama had on defense last Saturday?
Somebody go. Lack of preparation.
Lack of prep.
Yep. It was evident there with that. Like I wrote to you when we were messaging that night, I think it was, or maybe it was the day after.
Yeah.
You know, a defense with that amount of talent on it, there's just absolutely no way that should have happened. And the only thing I can come up with is just lack of preparation.
Lack of prep.
Yeah.
I think they were like a fighter in a heavyweight contest that got just punched in the mouth right away. And then with Kiffin's schemes, you know, the fakes, the misdirections, then they kind of started second guessing themselves.
Yep.
And then it ran into a track meet that they just couldn't get their bearings down. And it was just such a dichotomy of sidelines. You know, the offensive team was just so calm, cool, and collective. And I got to believe on that defensive team, they were just like second guessing themselves, overplaying, a couple of poor tackles. But I think they just got punched in the mouth on that first drive. And then they just couldn't get their feet underneath them after that.
Yeah, it felt to me like the prior weeks, it wasn't, our defense wasn't necessarily up to our typical standard, but it felt less like an out of position issue and more like a tackling issue to me, or at least closer to 50-50. Whereas when I went back and watched some of the Ole Miss game, it felt like 90% positioning. There was definitely poor tackling, but I started to do a deep dive, kind of like I did last week, and then I realized I'm going to have to watch 89 Ole Miss snaps, and it's not going to happen. But I just watched, like, the first drive, and just as an example, the very first play, I paused the play, and I looked. I think I could count all 11 Ole Miss offensive players, but only 10 Alabama defensive players, and it was because Ole Miss was overloading the left side, if I remember correctly, with at least a tight end or two and maybe trips out left. And that's when they brought Elijah Moore across. And I think it was Josh Jobe's responsibility in that zone of the field. And he wasn't even on the screen. And to me, I just don't understand what's he been told to guard against? Is it a deep corner? Like what is he doing? Why wouldn't you just press at that point up on the line? So just stuff like that, really fundamental basic positioning kind of stood out to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it's been a while since we've been dominant on defense, right? And part of it is because we're so good on offense. And, it used to, the 3 yards in a cloud of dust things we were doing until, I guess until the Lane Kiffin days, right? You run 3 yards, you run 3 yards, you run 3 yards, you keep the defense off the field. And, now, we score in 13 seconds. And we're not really stopping much of anybody anymore. We're just outscoring them all. And usually we just have so much more talent that we have some takeaways and the score looks lopsided. But it's been a while. I mean, Clemson's just been handing it to us, right? Even the ones we win.
Right.
It's like 35, 42 kind of thing, right? It's been the days of like Alabama, 6, LSU 9, or Alabama 21, LSU 0 are, they're in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't feel like we have anything to build around either. I mean, even in some of our defenses that have struggled, we have specific units or combinations of players that we know are going to deliver, like a Tim Williams, although he was on an elite defense, maybe he's not a good example, but you get the idea. It's like, well, we can't maybe, defend the deep ball over the middle of the field, but we're going to stop the run. Like no one's going to get over 3.25 yards on average against this defense, but it just feels like we're grasping for straws. Like we don't have anything to kind of hang our hat on, to me anyway.
Right. No, I think it's fair. Hey,
Dave.
Yeah,
if I can just jump in there, because actually when James brought it up, I thought of it earlier tonight at work, and that was, if you remember, it kind of jogged my memory, but it was after Saban revamped the offense, I think it was after the national championship loss to Clemson there, and then I think I brought it up, or maybe we brought it up together, that you got the impression of that there's more emphasis on offensive recruiting at the expense of the defense. And it kind of played itself out after that. And you just saw the defense just wasn't quite up to the level that it usually is. And it really hasn't gotten back to that. And you're getting all these great offensive players, obviously, but the thing is, it's kind of like, does anybody else get the impression that recruiting wise that might be neglecting the defense a little bit? I mean, there's a ton of talent, don't get me wrong, but it just doesn't seem to be the same kind of quality or dominance that it used to be.
I did notice that 2 years ago and 3 years ago, the number one defensive player that they drafted transferred out after their freshman year. And they're both top five in the country, and neither one stuck around for more than one season. And I'm wondering that, when you lose you know, two of your best players in two consecutive recruiting sessions, maybe, you know, it's, and that was on the front seven. It was, I think, a linebacker, maybe a defensive end. It's,
yep. Yep.
You know, you definitely, Antonio Alfano, and I can't remember the other guy.
Alfano and Noma, right? The Yabia Noma.
Yeah.
Exactly. There you go. Yep. Those are two players that would definitely be, you know, you think definitely contributing, and they'd have, you know, some seniority in the system at this point. You know, I think, you know, Gene Stallings would basically take all the best players that they recruited and put them on defense, whatever their position was. And then, yeah. You know, and that was an era of offensive play where you could get away with that. I don't think you can get away with that in quite the same way today. I think that, And maybe it was a little bit of Jalen. It was probably a lot more Tua. And then you think of, you know, Judy Ruggs and Devonta coming in one class. I think Saban fell in love with the passing game. You know, wow, this can really be this easy. You know, I think he thought a little bit. And so I think he sort of does have a template of how many players he wants to recruit at each position. I do think he has a model. But I think where he has sort of a fudge factor – I think he brings them in on the offense, where maybe historically he's brought them in on the defense. You know, I think he's sort of addicted to, you know, having that next receiver. And gosh, what if we had more than one? And, you know, we've historically, it's been just historical what we've had the last, you know, couple of years. And so I think he's probably fallen in love a little bit with that. But, you know, players leaving for the NFL, you know, we haven't had a lot of you know, it's how many, it seems like we're turning over the defensive secondary, you know, almost every year, two and three and four and, you know, even five, you know, players, and you play a nickel, you play a dime. That, I mean, gosh, that's almost everyone. And you do that with such a regularity that, you have a hard time sort of building some continuity. I think that plays a role. I give a lot of credit to what Lane Kiffin did, and just an incredible amount of credit there. Every, you know, you think of every time you run a play, you know, you run a fake off of it. And a lot of times, you know, you run a fake and it's just kind of perfunctory. But how many times did we tackle the wrong guy? Because the fake was so clean. It was so, you know, good looking. And then I think there's, you know, what Saban coaches on. I don't think signals. I don't believe that. But sort of in a mentality approach, you know, Saban talks about, you know, trust your eyes. There's keys. Trust your eyes. Your eyes will take you, you know, to the ball. The keys will take you to the ball. And then when you start sort of hanking around with those keys, then, you know, you could potentially lead a defender away from the ball. And, you know, we saw multiple penalties for blocking downfield. And I think, you know, Lane said that's the price of admission, right? We're gonna get a couple of these. But how many – and I haven't watched the film, but you ask yourself sort of rhetorically, how many of those did they actually get away with? And, you know, blocking downfield. And so we're expecting a run and they're going to throw it over our head. So I do think it was a collage of things. I give Lane a lot of credit, yeah. but damn it, you would think we'd have enough talent that we could overcome some of that. And then you guys heard me. So, I mean, you guys have heard all my opinions, so I'll stop talking, but the pressure that it put on the offense, I mean, I know it's Ole Miss and their defense sucks and all that, but to go 7 or 8 possessions in a row scoring a touchdown, I mean, wow. And so I like the execution there on the offense.
Yeah, it was amazing how many times you thought they had a tackle in the backfield and you're like, yes. And then, I mean, we all got faked out, right?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden the guy's like 4 yards into our defense. It's like, fuck.
Yes. I was really cussing at my TV.
Yeah. Well, and just, you know, I think the analytics and, you know, guys like Kiffin, yeah, used to you get somebody to, you know, 4th and 1, they're going to punt or at least kick a field goal. Now they're going for it, right? And so that changes the nature of, you know, of the game.
Yeah. He was 4 of 4 on 4th downs, which is amazing. You think you accidentally trip and fall and not get one of them, a penalty or a false start or something. And they hit 4 for 4. And then they reached a point where he almost like he stopped doing that. And it's almost like, all right, I've burned all of these that I'm going to get. Yeah. And when they went for a field goal, I think that was a point of sort of exhale, because it was back and forth. And if we fall off this cycle, we might lose the game. And when they blinked, not that that's really what it was, but that's what it felt like, right?
Yeah.
when they blinked and had to kick a field goal, I was like, man, y'all make that all day long. I don't care, because I think we can march down and get seven and create some margin here. So, unfortunately, but it went all the way. When was Najee's run? I don't think I got like a full exhale until Najee broke into the green, and I was like, go, yeah, man, just as loud as I could be, go Najee. And that was when I felt like I like got a full exhale for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I think that was Najee's, I could be wrong on this, but I believe it took till his senior year to score a touchdown from outside the red zone. I don't think he had ever scored a touchdown outside the red zone until against Ole Miss.
That's a good
which
stat.
Which is just wild to think about.
It really is.
Well, it felt so bad when, the ball was stripped at the one. I mean,
that was not a fumble. Oh.
Any guy that doesn't deserve to get shit for, if it turned into a loss and to blame for it, it wouldn't have been him, but fortunately we came back and he, with five TDs, he was, he got his, day in the sunshine a little bit. So. Right.
What do you guys think? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Was that a fumble, or would you categorize that as a fumble, or should the play?
I thought it should have been down, right?
But down. Yeah.
I mean, I understand why the refs are leery of calling those, because he could have just as well broken it, and then we've been upset that they blew the whistle, right? But yeah, I mean, he was definitely forward progress there. Yeah. Although on that last touchdown, I think I think the Saban influence is I almost kind of thought he should have just gone down and not crossed the goal line and just run the clock stop.
Yeah. Right. No, that's true. I'm not sure how I would have in the moment, because it was all about points, right? And then
right.
How many possessions, clock time. I don't know how I would have reacted in the moment, but in hindsight, I think you're right.
I'm part of my reaction again, and it's old style Alabama thinking back when we couldn't score like we do now. But I was like, why are we snapping a ball to lead late in the fourth quarter with like 19 seconds left on the clock? Run it down. We were doing that continuously. It's like, what are we doing?
Right.
But I think it's just a different mindset, and I haven't adjusted to it yet.
I think that's fair.
But I think given our state, though, I'm with you, Jane. Like, I think let's sacrifice points for time, Yeah. Let's just take 5 minutes off the clock and that be the goal, not even the score. Yes. I get this game was very much the exception to the rule and an anomaly and all that, but just if we're unable to get our act together defensively, I mean, let's do what we can, right? To limit possessions.
Yeah.
Except I wonder if you asked Mac Jones, because there's a rhythm there, right?
You're right. Yeah.
You're in a rhythm. And so it'd be fun to ask Mac Jones, you were driving the team, would you take more time off, or would you rather have a rhythm where you're snapping it, you're hitting the receiver, you're getting up the line? And, none of us here can answer that, but
yeah.
I'm wondering if the quarterback just likes that rhythm and says, I'd rather go with the rhythm than slow it down and then lose the pace. I don't know what the right answer is, but it'd be fun to ask Mac Jones that.
Yeah.
I'm sure he likes it, but he's not making that 89th tackle either.
right.
You guys are tired.
I think the press conference answer you'd get is, whatever helps the team in the moment. But, I think when you get the quarterback, sort of giving you an honest answer, it's, I want to sling it. They all want to throw it, right?
Yeah, I don't think Greg McElroy would have said that, but yes.
Yeah, well, there's always an exception.
So, I mean, I could be extreme here, but what do we have to lose to really get aggressive on some of these calls? So I just made up three more extreme examples. I guess the first one's not that crazy, but to me, why don't we just walk up both safeties in the event there's a tight end on the line and a running back out of the backfield and just play a man-to-man and leave our corners on an island, because they haven't gotten beat yet this year, I don't think. Like, let's just – if we're going to get beat, let's get beat in a new way, right? Another thing I thought is, what if we just drop all 11? We go to our dime rabbits, Christian Barmore is the sole down lineman. Just drop all 11 and take away that seam to the tight end. I get that has a lot of downside too, right? Especially they're going to get upfield blocking much easier. But again, we're not stopping a runny nose. So take a chance, And then the other thing is just do more all out jailhouse blitzes. Like, again, anything that leaves our corner on an island doesn't scare me yet, because I haven't seen that be a way we've been exploited. But it doesn't feel like we're really dialing any of those things up. It feels like we're trying to be conventional, have guys learn their keys, play within the system. So I don't know. I just feel like we could be a bit more aggressive than we have been.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hey, I'm going to be distracted for a minute. I am Zoom is about to kick us off, so I'm just going to go ahead and pay for the upgrade. Feels like we just got started, right?
You get kicked off last time?
We didn't. And so I guess I know.
First week.
No, we didn't. And so and last Saturday we went almost 2 hours.
The first week though, it said about at the 40 mark that, hey, here's a free. So I think your first two times they make it free, and then after that they start charging you.
Yeah. Oh well. All right. It wants too much information. Somebody ask a good question and you guys keep going. Let me get this logged in.
I was just going to ask about, do y'all feel like it's truly coaching? Do you feel like it's coaching recruiting? Do you feel like I guess I was thinking about with it being the Georgia game, Kirby, and just thinking how solid things were. And it seemed like a lot of people put that on Nick, that it was because Nick was so great and Kirby was just underneath him. But with Georgia being so good and us suffering so much, I feel like Kirby deserved more credit than what I think a lot of times he got. So I was just curious, y'all's thoughts, is it all of the above? Because, I mean, you know, we've run off one coach who was probably wise to do, but it didn't really change anything as far as the defense. It might even be a little worse from the way it looks. So I was just curious what y'all's thoughts were.
Well, you know, I think Dave mentioned in, like, it's probably the last, you know, of the free pods, right, that, you know, half the damn SEC's got you running Saban's scheme now. And, you know, that does change the dynamics. But I think mostly it's just the offenses are so much more dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah, across the SEC, everybody's playing, you know, damn Gus Malzahn, high school, spread them out offense. And it's just harder to stop that, right? You're not going to have these, you know, 3-point, 6-point games.
Right.
And, you know, and I still haven't really readjusted my expectations. Right. And again, it's like I've gotten so spoiled. Right. With, you know, with the success of the last, you know, decade or so that, you know, I'm more upset about like giving up all the points than I am, you know, excited about the wins. Yeah. Because you just expect the old Miss to be like, okay, you know, we're going to have a good time here. We're going to, you know, beat them by 41 points. And, you know, we're going to just like 3 games a year that should matter. And like, what's going on?
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of funny. This season, the SEC seemed like the last few years of the Big 12 were the last team with the ball wins. And I've seen that not as much with Alabama except for last week, but throughout the league, whether or not it's LSU or Florida or Texas A&M, I mean, teams are having so much problems on D. And I don't know if that's a lack of practice because of COVID or if it's just the way the SEC is just shifting, maybe.
I do think there's an offensive shift. I do think that's true. So, but I don't know. It's you know, definitely going to be interesting to tell. You know, you think about I do think there's a proliferation, if I can say it, of sort of the system. And so teams, you know, kind of know what to look for. But, you know, look at, you know, Lane Kiffin and Sark and what's his name? Even, you know, Mike Leach, you know, there's a new wave of sort of offensive coach, you know, coming through the conference as well. And so I don't know. Interesting stuff. Hey, Nick, Nick, are you there? You're on mute. Are you at a place where you can talk? All right, maybe not. Nick was on for a little bit last week listening, but couldn't get to
it. Can I just jump in there for a second? Mike,
is what he put in the chat.
Yeah, somebody just – Doug, go ahead,
yeah,
jump in.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, because that was just really interesting what James is talking about there. You know, how you know, the Gus Malzahn, you know, spread them all out, high school type of thing. And I think that might kind of – segue nicely into this week's game or Saturday's game, because Georgia, for whatever reason, doesn't like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're trying to get there with Todd Monken, right? But they're not quite there just yet. So, you know, we were talking about you know, maybe the our defense being a little bit more old school, that might match up pretty well with Georgia, since they're not really spreading it out.
I think the scheme, you know, and I don't know if you guys are on Tide or Insider. I go there sometimes, and I just wonder how do they live? You know, what is, you know, just because some of the opinions and some of the thoughts and some of the stuff out there, and there seemed to be sort of a mentality that, you know, if Ole Miss scored that many points on us, how many is Georgia going to score? Because, you know, it's the transitive logic that Georgia's better than Ole Miss. And so if Ole Miss did this, Georgia's going to do this. And it's like, they're going to score 80 points on us. And it's like, how did you not, like, you know, the game doesn't really work that way. And you know, fights make the matchups, right? And our matchups make the fight. And that's a little bit what this is. I think, and I'm not carrying anybody's water, I think the defense is going to look better just by virtue of the opponent. Sort of all else being equal, the defense is going to look better based on the opponent. I saw someone post, and I actually agreed with this. Alabama's not losing to a team with the quarterback named Stetson Bennett III. And I mean, that's kind of funny. I like that. And then you think of all the quarterbacks that have gone through there, and that's what they landed on. I mean, it's a phenomenal story. I love the story, but I think they're limited on offense. I really, really do. And so I think, you know, we're going to, you know, stack up a little bit against the run. I think that that the key, and you guys have heard everything I have to say, so I'm going to stop talking, I promise. But the key matchup for me is the cornerbacks and their wide receivers. If we can beat them one-on-one, then I think it's a different ball game, sort of inside, and I think we can do a lot of different things. If we start to do that, what I think we should do is, and especially in the first quarter, in the first half, because Battle's going to be out, we're going to have to come up with something to sort of solve for that. And I think you think about the Ole Miss game, Patrick Surtain, phenomenal player, all of his skill and capability, it was only marginally leveraged against Ole Miss because they didn't attack the edges. I think Georgia will attack the edges a little bit more, but if you take PS2 and you put him at the star, and I'm not mad at Malachi, but put him at the safety, right? Rotate him out for Daniel Wright or someone playing for Battle, you know, this week. I think you put Surtain in a position to make more plays and in a position to contribute more. And someone on Twitter was saying, oh, I don't know how practice is, and did we know practice? Well, I don't know. We talked all preseason about cross-training different players. Saban has talked for years about his two safety positions being essentially the same responsibilities. So, I mean, there's a little bit of sort of just kind of keep up with sort of the news of the story. But it's not a change like for now and forever. Let's run it, you know, on second downs. Let's run it 12 times a game just to give – you know, the quarterback something unexpected to look at. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some of that on Saturday.
Yeah, I have a tough time mocking the quarterback because I don't want to have it be a jinx to us.
I know.
but that quarterback, man, I listened to a few other podcasts, and I mean, this guy gets shit left and right. I mean, yeah. his name, and you know, there, it's kind of like LSU was, you know, a couple of years ago. Well, let's get a quarterback in that can open it up. And why is this guy in here and all mm-hmm. that stuff? So, I hope that I'm going to cheer the guy on, you know, not this week, but next, you know, mm-hmm. next week mm-hmm. later, because he's getting a lot of grief for just being a good guy, so to speak.
Right, right. I like, you know, during the Tennessee game, and you know, they had interviewed him, and you just a little snippet that just for me said, this is who this guy is. You know, he said, I'll paraphrase. He said, you know, to the point of, if this ends now, this has been phenomenal, but I'd like for it to keep going. I was like, damn, I like that guy. I can identify with that. That's pretty slick. So, after this weekend,
Georgia's had so many stud quarterbacks, and you know, and kept running them off because they had so many of them, you know, that you wind up with some guy you never heard of all of a sudden is the guy. you know, and I think that's his curse. I mean, I'm sure he's, you know, I mean, he's starting at Georgia. How bad could it be, right? But,
right.
But he's not what they've had.
Right. Not at all, right? Not at all. Not at all. That's interesting.
And that's the other thing with him, too, is that he can't, just like Matt Corral. I mean, Matt Corral was, to me, he was just kind of like, almost the ghost of Deshaun Watson, almost the way he was moving around, giving us trouble. Because we always had a problem with that. But, you know, Stetson, he's not that. Right. He can extend plays a little bit, but not to that extent.
Not and the
same. Yeah. No. Exactly. So actually, what I'm expecting is that the front seven actually, you know, have a big day. You know, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, probably, you know, Georgia's offensive line against ours, you know, defensive line, you know, two of the best around. We'll see how that turns out. But we should have a big day, I think. Getting the stats in there. That's what I think.
What do you guys think? Go ahead, Noah. Go ahead, Troy.
What's the stadium capacity? What are they going to let in this this Saturday? Like 20,000 or something like that? 25,000?
I think it's still that. I think it's still right at the 20,000, 25,000 or, you know, percent. So, yeah, 20,000, 25,000. Yeah.
And how did Texas A&M have so many kids?
I don't know.
Mullen wants everybody. Get all 100,000 in there. Let's go already.
There were camera shots where it looked like it was a full stadium. Like, it, yeah. You know, and just in that pan shot, it was a full stadium. And, yeah. And yeah, you think, how, like, this is not what we're supposed to be doing here. So, I don't know.
Nobody was masking up either.
Right.
And none of them.
Right.
So, well, you know. It's too bad we all of a sudden, you know, got a home game against Georgia. And it's like, and I hope those people that they let in, I hope they tell them, listen, you son of a bitch, you better be cheering. You know, no sitting on your hands in this game because we need the voices, right? I mean, that's tell these people.
This might be the only time that I agree with Texas A&M. We don't need to have a yell practice. We need to have a yell tryout into the stadium.
Yeah. I mean, Saban's been mad about the, you know, the crowds like forever, right? Or at least pretends to be mad about it. So.
Right.
Well, we better talk about Saban, right?
Yeah. So, holy geez, what are we?
Thinking? I just wonder how that. How does that? What is that? Is he? Can he do anything from home as far as like trying to manage the game, or is he completely cut off except watching TV like the rest of us? How does that work?
He can't do anything during the game. I think I saw some like the official kind of sounded language. Once the officials sort of take over the game, which I think is an hour before kickoff or right. Hour and a half, whatever it is. Once they sort of officially own the game, then he can't do anything, any sort of communication with the players or the teams until, and I think the official language until, you know, the officials call the game is complete and a victor is announced or whatever, however they word it. So there's a window he can't do anything. Like today, he can do everything that he can do, you know, remote like this. You know, between sort of the kickoff, I had some vision of like him in a Hugh Freeze hospital bed up in the
in the
stands.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking of like Joe Paterno. Remember Joe Paterno got ran over? He broke his leg or whatever it was, his hip.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, you know, they stuck him up in the coach's booth and let him coach from there. I mean, obviously, you know, Nick can't go around, you know, and come anywhere near the stadium, but, you know, I was just kind of wondering, you know, if they were going to let him do anything, but I guess not.
Who was the manager for the Mets years ago that like got banished from the game and came in with glasses and a mustache?
Bobby Valentine.
Yeah.
Valentine. Yeah, that's right.
There's the sort of a made up thing of that on Facebook, and they're like, oh, yeah. This, the, you know, Alabama, what is it?
Promotes analysts to
analysts,
on field coach. It's just Saban.
And it's Saban with glasses. And, yeah, it's kind of funny, but.
Well, it's funny that they wouldn't have changed that rule somehow for the season. Now, they probably don't want to do it because who is the coach? Early on, that couldn't coach because he had COVID.
Florida State coach.
Florida State.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike Norvell. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, thought he can't coach anyway, so.
But you would have thought that they would have, like, come up with some vision. I said, okay, you know, for this COVID thing, if your head coach is down, you know, we can do this.
Right.
But you would have thought they would have at least contemplated that somewhere down the line.
Well, they may. I mean, you know, we can't rule out that they didn't, but they didn't change the rule. So.
Well, the only thing I could think of is that they would treat it as if, like I said before about use Joe Paterno as an example. Yeah. You know, if you know that basically, if you have COVID, they treat it as if you had an injury, or you know, you just got out of the operating room with something, and you can't be there. You got to physically be there, I suppose.
Yeah,
that's the bottom.
There's a decent chance COVID. He doesn't even have COVID, right? He's tested positive, and even if you test negative, I think you're still out for 10 days, 14 days, whatever the protocol is.
Well, he can do if he gets 3 negative tests, he can come back. Yeah. Is what it. They say. I mean,
they have to be like 24 hours apart or something like that.
Yeah. So maybe he had one. We don't know, I guess, if he had one today or not, but we'll see.
Yeah. That wasn't announced. I was kind of kidding with my wife. I said, well, you know, that clock starts with the first pass test. So they're going to test them every 15 minutes. Start the clock. Start the clock.
For positive ones, right? Yeah.
That's right.
Well, so, go ahead, Caleb.
I was just going to say, this is a kind of a crazy scenario, but let's hope this doesn't happen. But the players, you know, I guess had their big test today. I know they get tested daily, but tomorrow's kind of the reckoning where they get the results. And if we have an outbreak similar to Ole Miss and they postpone this game, I don't know what Georgia's bye is built into the schedule, but I think we're both off the week before the SEC title game. If we were both undefeated going into December 12th, and that's when they moved the game.
Oh, wow.
Would we have to play them twice?
But also, how do you do that? Because you already have Mizzou and Vandy playing on the 12th, and now you also got Florida LSU playing on the 12th. Not to mention, not that it really has any bearing on anything as such, but you also get that's the Army Navy game as well. How are you going to fit all that in?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think they would play the game, but the SEC championship is that next weekend, right? The third Saturday. So they would just.
Yeah. Just, that's right. It's the week after the 12th, the weekend after. What would that be?
Yeah.
Cause you would just play twice.
What is it? Michigan and Ohio State did that. They played back to back weeks, end of the regular season and whatever the Big Ten, whatever. So, that would be interesting, playing them twice. I don't know.
That happens with some frequency in, like, in the pros, right? NFL, I've seen that happen lots of times. You have a game to decide division championship, and the prize is you host that opponent again at home next week. Yeah. So.
Yeah. What's interesting in the NFL, the you know, the coaches can say we're going to conserve everything, right? Because they're in the playoffs. It would be interesting to think, you know, sort of the college component is, you know, we're going to be in the SEC championship game. You couldn't risk losing to the team twice, but then, you know, if you lost the first one and won the second one, is that better than winning the first one, losing the second one? And so I don't know. I mean, Saban's like, well, you play to win them all. And I think he's right, but I don't know. Just think of what people would say about that.
Well, what do you guys think about Sarkisian, you know, being head of this game? I mean, you know, unfortunately the one game he was sort of in charge of for 1 year, you know, it didn't turn out well. And that's kind of where my mind goes back. But I think the guy's, you know, matured and got a lot of experience, and he's got a lot of, you know, Saban's confidence.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping that, you know, he kind of pulls through. I mean, this could be a big stepping stone. And I don't know about you guys, but I always think, okay, is Saban grooming anyone here? You know, is there a play here for Sarkisian to be the head coach? And you know, because maybe a guy stays around 4 or 5 years and he's the guy, right?
Right, right.
So, but anyhow, my mind raced back to Sarkisian's one game when he was OC, you know, and we lost in the national championship, and then he went to Atlanta. But
yeah, but you know, I don't know that offense was a problem in that game, you know, and even with a running back breaking his damn leg, you know, in the third quarter, I mean, we still scored enough points to win that game, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I hope Steve does well. I'm rooting for the guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, he coached up at Washington, didn't he?
He did.
And USC.
Yeah, so yeah, well, yeah, USC didn't last very long. Did he even get a game? Because I think, because my next thing was going to sound kind of mean, but as long as he doesn't have a couple of beers before kickoff, he should be all right. But I don't remember he actually got on the field at USC, right? Because it was that fundraiser where he showed up, you know, pretty loaded and said a couple of things, and that was kind of that, as I remember it.
So was he completely off season?
Yeah.
The way I remember it, it was that. It was just before. It was maybe like in August or something. Oh, July.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way I recall it happening.
No,
I don't think he ever coached a game for SC. Clay Helton took over, right? And so, but for me anyway, since Sark has the head coaching experience from Washington. You know, I don't have a problem with him, you know, taking the reins.
Yeah, I think he'll
rebound better than Mike Price, I think. So.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Wow. Set the bar high.
Plus, he didn't seem like Dick was coaching last week. Holy Saban, geez. A baseball cap? I mean.
Say again?
Who thought that? To see Saban in a baseball cap? was that weird to anyone else or just me?
No, that's definitely weird. That is definitely weird.
I told my wife that they should have like Nick Saban night at the game and just have everybody dress up like him, and then he just sneaks in.
And then he sneaks in, right? Which one is the real Nick Saban?
Yeah,
and a show game.
That's awesome. So what do you guys think? You know, this matchup with Georgia, number one offense, number one defense. You know, we have a long, granted not recently, but you know, in our history, we have a long legacy of being, you know, the premier defense, and sort of our mindset, again, sort of historically, has been, you know, our defense will beat you into submission and our offense will figure it out. And it feels weird to be on the other side of that, playing a team that is doing, you know, is literally the mirror image. And so they're playing defense, feel really good about their defense, hoping the offense figures it out. We're the opposite of that. Not picking a team, not picking a winner, but just picking sort of a mindset. Which do you prefer? Do you prefer having the top offense, or do you prefer having the top defense?
Right now, I'm sorry.
No, it just feels like we're playing Alabama from like 2012 or something. It seems like we're playing an old image of what we used to be. And maybe I'm a little nervous because we just don't see it that much.
Yeah.
I don't quite know what to expect.
I would say to me, if our offense had a Derrick Henry, I would feel pretty good. I mean, you see him in the pros. You see that stiff arm he gave that guy?
Yeah, that was great at Buffalo.
That was like Michigan State.
Yeah. So, you know, I think if you had a running back that was just a 40 carries a game, 212 yards, and you could grind the clock, I'd always take a good offense. But I don't know. It's a tough question, Dave.
See, I usually would take the offense, but I think they're going to be able to take away our run without stacking it too much. I just don't believe in our ability to run the ball. I kind of throw out the Ole Miss game completely, honestly. I remain totally unconvinced of our ability to run against a stout front. And so I think they're going to be able to they're not going to have to play man coverage on the back end where they're already strong. So much is going to come on Mac Jones, not to mention the pass rush. Just if there's no pass rush, but they take away the run and make us one dimensional, I don't really like our chances. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm proved wrong.
I hear what you're saying.
Actually, I'm with you on that, Kale, because I was thinking this, you know, a lot of people were saying, well, you know, the breakout game that we've all been waiting for, but you know, maybe it's simplistic, but I'm one of the people who say, well, yeah, but it was Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. What was the year we had all the, you know, the knocks that they kept calling them on CBS, right? The non-offensive touchdowns, yeah. Right.
2016.
4 or 5 years ago, you know, I mean, that kind of defense I'd take over any offense. But if it's just one that can kind of run out the clock and stop people from scoring or, you know, get field goals, you know, an offense that can score from anywhere is probably preferable to that, right? But if you can score on defense, that's preferable to, you know, the dominant offense.
Yep.
I think we haven't had that in a while.
I think our defense, if we only – I mean, it's not a good record, but damn, it's impressive. I think our defense would have gone like 5-6 that season. Our defense.
Yeah.
that's impressive.
Like the defense could have gone to a bowl.
Tennessee that year.
And done better. Forget, had a kicker.
I forget who was coaching. Yeah. I can't remember Tennessee in 2016, but whoever it was prior to the game said, well, I just hope our offense outscores their defense. I mean, he said it explicitly before the game even started. And I just thought that was so cool.
Right.
That's fear. Right. We struck fear, you know?
So what do you think when you think about the early, we're talking about the early versions, you know, of Alabama on the superiority of the defense. One of the things sort of the mantra or sort of the fan mindset at the time is, and it was in a lot of articles, right? How do you beat this Alabama defense? And one of the things that was always listed is it takes a quarterback playing out of his mind. And as fans, you know, the shorthand is he's got to have his Steven Garcia day, right? Well, Mac can do that, right? Mac's been doing that. Am I too rose colored on this one?
Caleb, I'm pretty. I feel like I'd rather have a healthy Tua, but that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, my expectations are very low. I'll just say that I'm
okay.
I won't be disappointed. I don't think on Saturday because I don't know. Okay. I'm not super hopeful.
Okay. I hear you.
I got faith in Mac. I do.
Are you and Mac? He's looked great in the first three games so far, but he's not going to have those big windows to hit his receivers and open space. And I'm a little afraid of he's not going to have the same time to set back and pass. It's going to be a little more rushed, and he's going to have to hit very tight windows. I kind of think this is going to be a real show-me game for Mac Jones.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair.
Well, he had a little bit of baptism by fire, if you will, in the Iron Bowl. I mean, they were coming after him then.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the two, you know, one unlucky pick six, and the other one was, you know, legit on Mac. But other than that, he responded really well. So, you know, I came away from that game like, wow, this guy's really impressive. Yeah. But
look good against Michigan.
Yeah. Against Michigan.
Michigan, yeah. Absolutely.
I think he can deal with the pressure really well. What I'd just like to see actually would be, you know, the defense basically to say, all right, if you're going to beat us, guess what, Stetson, you're going to be the guy to do it. What say you?
Yeah.
But yeah. Dave, your point
with the Mac Jones thing, right? Cause it's like, you know, going back, you know, 35, 40 years, right? I mean, aside from Tua and to some extent Jalen, I mean, who have we had that was really better, right? I mean, we've had some pretty pedestrian quarterbacks, at least in terms of, like, you know, pro potential. Yeah. And now we just sort of take it for granted we're going to have, like, yeah. and now we need it because we don't have a defense.
Now we need it to be true.
Yeah.
Well, I think if Mac can get his progressions, you know, we got three outstanding wide receivers. We got Najee out of the backfield, the wheel route, and we haven't worked the tight end super, you know, a lot this year. So I think if Mac gets pressure, but he can work his progressions, I think one of those four guys, throw a tight end in there, one of those guys can be open, and I think he can do well. I'm cautiously optimistic that he'll have a good game. If you asked me at the end of last year, could I see him doing what he did so far? I'd be like, no way. And so I guess you got to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. Like you said, Dave, when you said, ah, crap, father and a kid playing catch in the backyard wouldn't, you know, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of true. So I'm cautiously optimistic that that one of our four guys or five guys can be open and he can see the read, see the opening and dish it there.
Yep.
But Dave, I think you made this point on the podcast. I liked it this week where maybe the measure of a defense is less about points allowed or any kind of single metric other than just percentage of times you get off the field. Right. And I think you mentioned, Dave, Georgia's defense just says, you're going to have a good game. We just can't let you blow up. Right. We're going to get off the field half the time. So I totally believe in Mac. I think he's been unbelievable and he could have a good game and we still lose by double digits because of how poor our defense looks. I get the scheme is different, right? Georgia's more conventional. Maybe we match up a bit better, but if we're getting off the field 20% of the time and they're getting off the field 50% of the time, Mac might go 20 for 30 for 303 and we lose by two scores. You know what I mean? So it's less of, it's not really a lack of confidence in Mac. I think he's great. It's just, Our whole hope kind of hinges on that in my mind.
Caleb, are you kind of throwing in the offense also scoring a little too quickly in there too?
Probably, yeah, because we didn't really show a willingness to let it wind down, right? We were just running and gunning.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. All fair points. All fair points.
This kind of gets back to something Caleb said earlier, but it just made it think of me, but on the radio today, I heard somebody say that if we lose Saturday, Nick's undefeated record versus his old coaches will still be intact because they'll just blame Sarkisian for the loss. Right. And it won't be Nick, so he's still safe. And so, Caleb said something earlier that made me think about that.
Yeah, that's funny.
I think it's a bigger deal that Saban's not going to be there to hold kind of Golding's hand and make adjustments. I'm just not, maybe I should be more concerned. I'm just not worried about Sark at all. Cause I don't think his like play to play minute to minute experience is really going to be much different. Maybe he's not huddling up as much with the quarterbacks and the skill players and he has to manage timeouts and things, but I'm just not worried about that component. I'm worried about, okay, we've been burned three straight defensive possessions in a row. What do we do, Golding? And Saban's right. Not there to chime in. That's more my concern, I guess.
Unless Saban would pull a rabbit out of his hat, like the onside kick in the national championship or something like that. I don't know if Sark could have the guts to pull that off, and that's kind of like a Saban like deal, And I don't know that it'll necessarily come down to that one play like it did the national championship, but Kirby had the fake punt, which blew up in his face.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been kind of thinking about who's ever in charge. Would they have the guts to do a fake punt or an onside, and I don't know if any of those, we can expect that. But
it's a good point. We should do more onside kicks, I think. I mean, I would have done it in the Ole Miss game earlier.
Oh, really? Because,
again, what's the difference? I mean,
we're going to score anyways.
Yeah, the downside is not much the way the game was going. The upside could be tremendous. An extra possession in that game would have been very valuable.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Good points. Who do you think, with Saban most likely, not participating, we can elevate another coach. Who do you guys think will get elevated?
Strong seems obvious,
yeah.
Right? But
Strong. Yeah.
Do you hope gets elevated, right?
Yeah.
But does that undermine Golding's confidence?
Does he have confidence? Why would he be confident?
He sucks. Oh, man.
But I'm bumped. I heard.
If he's confident, he should not be, right?
What basis? On what basis?
Dave, that may go back to what you were talking about this week, where maybe that's a part of that transition where – maybe he is the one who's on the field and that starts that transition of him helping.
Right.
You can correct me if I'm wrong, because you were talking about on the podcast this week, correct? About just kind of like in the past, how those transitions have started during the season. And though, coaches may or may not have realized that Saban had already kind of started that. So this may jumpstart that process.
It could. So someone just made the comment about without – someone just commented without Saban there to sort of be the shoulder that Golding can lean on, within, maybe Strong can be that.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I'm sure I'll be framed
that way.
Yeah.
Or maybe you don't have the pressure of Nick being on the sideline with you.
Right. I'm not about to get my ass chewed.
That's true. It's good. Yeah. Yeah.
That.
And if we can just win this damn game, I might not get it chewed at all.
Yeah. I think I heard somewhere. And I'm pretty sure I heard somewhere today or yesterday that Saban more or less has taken over the defense as it is. I don't know if anybody else has heard the same thing. I can't remember where I heard it.
I have not heard that.
That makes me nervous the way we're playing then.
Well, you got to figure that odds are somebody else in the team or the coaches is probably going to have COVID pretty quick, don't you think? I mean, what are the odds that Nick has it and nobody else?
No one else.
I mean,
probably low. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how many LSU, like the game that got canceled, you know, LSU. Well,
Florida had like 28 people.
28?
Yeah, they had 18, I think, who tested positive, or 19, but then another 9 or 10 who with contact tracing or whatever had to isolate, and it was almost 30. Yeah.
And that was on Florida or LSU?
Florida.
Did LSU have any?
I didn't read any headlines. Florida was the big attention getter. I don't know about LSU.
I think they all got COVID in August.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, they already did it. They took the Dabo model, right?
They had their COVID.
Everybody get it now.
I was going to actually ask you, just for talking about defense, does anyone I noticed the first two games and last week a lot, that the lack of a pass rush, it doesn't seem that they're really getting to the quarterback a lot. And even a few times when they came close, it didn't seem that they were really affecting the passer either last week. It just seemed that it's kind of a lot of blame went to the secondary. Do you think that, you know, because I know like last year we got DeMond six times, this year it was once, and I don't even know what it was last week, but it just seemed that we were just, for how stacked our line is, it just doesn't seem that we're really getting that rush that I was anticipating.
I throw out, me personally, I kind of throw out the A&M game from evaluating the pass rush, because I feel like our strategy with Mond was very specific and contain. I think we wanted him to throw the ball. I think we didn't want him to run the ball and go for 100 yards. We hit him a lot, but he torches us on the ground. But yeah, I kind of feel the same way, Greg. I wonder, like Chris Braswell, I haven't heard his name at all this year. I don't even think he made it.
Exactly.
TV.
I'm not sure he's
playing. Like, can we just get somebody out? I mean, I get that we want to – Saban wants to establish the floor. The system's complex. But the floor is low, guys. Like, Chris right Allen ain't setting the edge. Ben Davis ain't setting the edge. Will Anderson is flashing, right? But, I mean, what's the risk in throwing Braswell out there for a snap? Just see what happens. That's what I say. So I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm not smart enough to watch and understand all the stunts and stuff. But it'd be interesting if someone knew, like, are they just man on man stronger than us? Are they just pushing us and keeping us back? Or are they seeing our stunts and picking them up right? Or what, you know, it'd be interesting, because I don't, you know,
yeah.
Dave, you said some stuff and I picked up on this and that, but the last couple of games I haven't watched, you know, what's happening. Are they just stronger and they're just man on man stopping us, or what do you think?
I don't think it's that. And I didn't break this down. I only went back and just watched a couple plays to look at, and a couple of things that I did see. And I don't think this was the philosophy all night, and so this is not an excuse, but there were definitely plays where, you know, all of our guys across the front, you know, were stood up their linemen, and you could see them like looking around the linemen. And so I think the strategy against A&M was containment. And so I'm not going to excuse that was the entire strategy for Ole Miss. I think there were instances where that was the intent. And so I think I saw a couple of plays where that's what they were doing, but I don't think that was the intent all night. I think they were running quick tempo and getting the ball out of his hands quickly. And you know, if they're going to get rid of the ball in 3 seconds, you're not going to get to them. And I do think there was a little bit of that. And he's nimble, Matt Carroll is. There were a couple of times that we almost had him, and he stepped out of it. It seems like, you know, Chris Harris was very close to multiple tackles, multiple sacks. And if he played with just a little bit more control, I think he would have, you know, he would have gotten a couple of those. But I don't know. I put on my schedule. I showed you guys. I'm going to grab it. I showed you guys last Saturday. I have a podcast sort of schedule of things that I do every day. And what was on the schedule was yesterday was to watch the first half of the Ole Miss game. And I could not bring myself to do it.
Don't blame you. Can't blame you.
I guess, like, oh geez, man, I'm in such a good mood. I'm not, I mean, you know, I guess I wasn't in a good mood. I guess it was the COVID thing, but I was like, oh hell, I'm not going to sit down and watch this game after, you know, after all this mess. But
well, you wouldn't have had to drink a half bottle of liquor either.
Right.
You wouldn't have to do that over again.
This is true. This is true. Oh man, you went back and got another one. What are you drinking there?
Oh, just a little Blue Moon.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic.
All good.
Fantastic. You know, all right, guys. I got to jump. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Go ahead.
I got to jump. I got to get to bed. I'm, you know, running late as it is. But great seeing all you guys, and looking forward to hearing the audio version of this later in the week there, Dave, when you get it together.
Fantastic.
And, you know, if you guys plan to do what we did at the end of the session Saturday, then I'm going to say Bama 30, Georgia 24.
Okay.
I like it. I like it.
All right. All right, fellas, be well.
Thanks, Doug. See
you, Doug.
Okay. All right.
Fantastic. Hey, we've been going for a little bit. I don't want to keep you guys. If we got a couple people drop, you know, I'm good to go for a little bit longer. If you guys want to stay on, that's cool. Good conversation.
One last thing to say. So, you know, we're crying in our beer, so to speak, about how bad Alabama played, but my motto is there's always someone that's having a worse day.
Yes.
So how about LSU this year?
Man.
I mean.
Holy cow.
I love it. I love it. I'm so excited about it. Being from New Orleans, man, I love it. And I hope we pile on them too. I don't feel sorry for them at all.
There doesn't seem to be any end in sight to that defense. I mean, my daughter went to Nebraska when Bo Pelini was head coach there, you know, and he just got ran out of Dodge there. And now he's trying to lead that defense. And they're just, I mean, I don't know. But
I was reading.
I thought we ought to cheer ourselves up that there's someone having a worse day, and
that's right. It's true.
It is. If any of the LSU staff survives till next year, that is such a collapse on defense. I'm shocked, actually.
Yes.
I was reading though some people who are watching that team, you know, in a very detailed manner, are noticing they pointed out Stingley in particular, you know, their best defender, and the effort is shockingly bad. Like he's kind of sticking with the route. But when it comes to tackling, no willingness, you know, no energy on that side. So it does seem strange. Seems like a huge culture shock or shift or, you know, I don't know, something.
Stingley probably feels like a prisoner, right? Because he wasn't, you know, he's only a sophomore, so he can't declare and sit out like so many of the other players. So he probably feels like a prisoner, and you know, he sits out and they lose, and he plays and they lose, and so his motivation has just got to be in the tank. You know, he's a classic situation where Saban says, you know, you got to play to you know, create value for yourself. And if he's going to go out there and sort of put stinkers on the you know, on tape every week, it's going to take a lot for him to bounce back from that, because that's the kind of thing that NFL teams are going to question. And NFL teams that are picking at the top of the draft where he wants to go are going to be bad teams. And mm-hmm. So we don't want a guy that's going to check out on week three. So, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more to it than just that, but you know, if Saban could get in his ear, that's what he would say. Or you got to create value for yourself right here.
Yeah. That's good. Point.
Well, fellas, it's been fun. I got to drop as well, but before I do, real quick, fun trivia fact, this chair I'm sitting in was Jesse Williams' chair. Remember the Australian nose tackle?
Oh, yeah.
2012-13. Okay. So when he got drafted by the Seahawks in the seventh round, he actually got this chair when we played Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl in 2013. I guess the calendar year was maybe it's 2014, but you know, the 2013 season.
Uh-huh.
And he just left all his stuff. And so my wife's friend's boyfriend was his roommate. And they just say, hey, anybody want this stuff? So it's like a double wide, you know, nose tackle, lazy boy. Anyway, fun fact. Just wanted to share that.
I love that. That cool. that makes the seasickness that I've been getting watching you rock. That makes it all worth it.
Sorry. Good. See you guys. This was fun.
All right. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Dave, for pulling us together.
Fantastic. Absolutely. Any predictions? Any game predictions as we go?
I'm not guessing. I don't want to
guess. 24-23 Alabama.
Would you 34?
No, 24-23.
24. Ooh, a close one. Fantastic.
Yeah. I think they might kick a few extra field goals. I think it's going to be tight. I had one question. I just want to throw out.
Back
on. You know, with Bryce Young being on, with Mac Jones doing so well, and Bryce Young, you know, being a freshman, and Jones, I think, is only a junior. If he sticks around for another year, and the way he's playing now, you know, Young may be on the bench for 2 years. Does anyone have a concern about him transferring at the end of the season, or because everything I've read, he's just this great talent, and I don't know if you've heard anything about, you know, what concerns there are about that, or
I haven't, and I do think that, you know, that's definitely something we need to keep in mind. It's almost like, let's go lights out so Mac will go pro. Yeah. And then that'll give Bryce the opportunity. But I mean, I was all in sort of earlier that, you know, Bryce would be the one we could keep if we could only keep one. Today, I would have to rethink that. And when we project out, you know, into next season, I don't know. And could you, if Mac does this all season, but then wants to come back, I mean, hell, you want to have him, but then you don't want to lose Bryce either. So I don't know how that would go. I really don't. Hopefully they're bought in enough. And it's not a season necessarily that would count against his eligibility. So Bryce would be given the opportunity to play as much as it would take for him to prove himself and be draft eligible, that maybe they'd be willing to, his parents would just kind of chalk it off. I don't know. It's an interesting question. I don't have an answer. And it's a question probably we wouldn't have anticipated 3 weeks ago, but here we are.
I kind of thought that Bryce Young would be started by probably late in the season. He probably would have won the job, and now Mac Jones is just looking like lights out so far. And I just, you know, I was wondering if he'd stick around being relegated to a second string position for 2 years.
But you have to. I mean, it's not like he's sitting behind somebody that's not playing well either is what's interesting. I mean, you almost can't play the, you know, whether it's smoke and mirrors or whatever, you almost can't play the position any better. And so you think, I could go anywhere and have to sit behind somebody playing this well. So let's soak up the lesson and the learnings. Hopefully, I don't know. Some optimism there.
Yeah. Hard thing to worry about. I'm not going to worry about it right now.
That's kind of where I net out. Like I want to have an opinion, but it's not fleshed out.
No, I get it.
Absolutely.
Well, Dave, thanks for pulling this together.
Absolutely. This is a lot of fun. I, you know, I've mentioned this before, and we have some new folks that have joined us, you know, this week, which is phenomenal. You know, when I put this together sort of as a bonus, I didn't know what this was going to be. I was a little skeptical. I was like, all right, we'll do this. If nobody shows up, then we'll just stop doing it. And I'll have a reason to, you know, but these have been great, you know, from the start, just the conversation and the camaraderie and just, you know, the engagement has just been phenomenal. So yeah, I appreciate it. And you guys make it. So thank you.
I really appreciate it. It was my first time. Had a blast.
Good.
Really had a good time. Thank you.
Fantastic. Yeah, so for anyone that's still listening to the podcast when you rebroadcast it, you're sitting on the sidelines, get on the Zoom. Everyone's got Zoom. Get on. You'll see guys just like you.
That's right.
Thinking just like you. And what a better way to spend an hour and a half and get out of COVID and pandemic and all the other bullshit we're putting up with right now.
That's exactly right. Charlie said it right.
All right. See you, Greg. See you, Dave.
Fantastic. Thanks. Thanks, all guys. Right. Thanks, Nick. We're going to get you a mic, man. We're going to get you a mic, Nick.
All right, you take it easy, guys.
All right, take it easy.
All right.
Hey, Mike, we can look at getting our, or I'm sorry, Nick, we can look at getting a dial in. I'll look into that for next week. Thanks, guys.